My guest at this time is Robert Spencer. He's the director of Jihad Watch, a program of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and he's also the author of the new book, The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. And given all the latest developments in Syria and the Middle East, it's critical to get insights on what is happening and what's likely to happen. And Robert, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Well, one of the reasons that you wrote this book is to explain why ISIS has been so effective at winning converts and gobbling up territory in Iraq and Syria, as well as many other places around the Middle East and even North Africa and even further east into Asia. Why are the efforts to this point to defeat ISIS been much more ineffective than a lot of us expected? Is it as a result of their ingenuity or a lack of ingenuity on the part of those trying to stop them?
It's much more the latter. The fact is that the airstrikes that the Obama administration has sponsored have been largely cosmetic. They haven't hit the most vulnerable areas. They haven't hit the leadership. They haven't hit the long convoys that we see in photographs when ISIS takes a city and there are these huge strings of trucks and cars going in, parading around. They don't hit these obvious targets. They haven't hit the black market oil tankers. Nothing like that. And so you got to wonder what on earth is the purpose of these airstrikes. Also, the fact is that no country since the beginning of warfare in the air has ever been conquered from the air alone. And there has to be a ground effort, but there has not been and probably will not be. Meanwhile, even worse, the Obama administration, as Obama underscored again at the UN, refuses to acknowledge the ideology that guides and motivates and helps the Islamic State and helps them gain recruits among Muslims, such that 30,000 foreign Muslims have now joined it from all over the world. But meanwhile, the reason is that the Obama administration is saying it has nothing to do with Islam, while the Islamic State is appealing to Muslims on the basis of Islamic texts and teachings. And until we acknowledge that and devise some way to counter it, they're going to continue to make recruits among peaceful Muslims in that way. But the Obama administration is in complete denial.
Why is it critical to identify what's behind their actions rather than just stamping them out?
Well, you know, it's an adage as old as warfare that you cannot defeat an enemy you don't understand, and you especially can't defeat an enemy you refuse to understand. This group is making converts on the basis of its claim to be the caliphate, the only legitimate government for Muslims worldwide, according to Sunni Islamic theology, and most Muslims are Sunnis. And we're just waving that away and saying they're not Islamic, instead of recognizing that this is a claim of extraordinary appeal and trying to devise ways to counter it.
Let's talk very briefly about the historical aspect of this. The administration and others who have not gone in the direction that you're certainly advocating in terms of identifying this as radical Islam have said that, you know, most Muslims in the world certainly don't subscribe to this. And throughout history, that's the case. You've obviously studied Islam a great deal. How much does the ISIS version of Islam look like the original version?
Pretty much 100%. Everything that ISIS does is very carefully based on the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad in the Hadith. And so they are able to point to chapter and verse and show Muslims, see, we're the authentic Islamic caliphate because we're doing what Muhammad did. We're doing what the Quran says, and other Muslim groups aren't. And here again, that has extraordinary appeal among Muslims that we're completely ignoring and denying.
In terms of stopping it, I'm guessing your answer to this question will be yes, but is it a better strategy to take swift and decisive military action or embark on a decades-long battle of ideas to remove the allure of a group like ISIS for those who might be most likely to be responsive to it?
Well, I'd say both. I mean, I think we could knock out the Islamic State with swift and decisive military action in a matter of weeks, like we did Saddam Hussein's regime. The problem would be then we should not get bogged down in the same quagmire of trying to build a Western secular republic where none can be. We should just be working to interdict jihad activity and keep them from striking over here. But meanwhile, we also have to wage the ideological battle, which we can't do until we admit what their ideology actually is. And that is very important. But the fact is that there are no Muslim groups in the United States today, not a single one, that has any program to teach young Muslims why they should reject the ISIS ideology, even though they all condemn and reject it.
We're talking with Robert Spencer. The book is The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. And just looking at the past few days here, Mr. Spencer, some people believe that Russia could be doing the United States a big favor by taking the fight to Assad's enemies, although from the early reports, it looks like he's not actually going after ISIS. Others say this is essentially letting Vladimir Putin run foreign policy in the Middle East, and we're now subject to the whims of Russia's foreign policy. What's your read on what we've seen the last few days?
Is that, yes, it's absolutely true that Putin has taken the lead, and he's taking decisive action where Obama has not and doesn't seem able to. That is certainly true. At the same time, the big disagreement that the U.S. has with Putin is over Assad, and the Obama administration contends that we can't defeat the Islamic State unless we take out Assad. Now, this is very strange because Assad is a big foe of the Islamic State, and he is holding it at bay in the Damascus area. And so you got to wonder, why would Obama say we got to take out the enemy of ISIS in order to defeat ISIS? This comes back to his denying their ideology. He's wanting to pretend that it only has to do, that ISIS only exists to get rid of Assad, and if we get rid of Assad, ISIS will fade away. This completely ignores the guiding ideology that ISIS has delineated in multiple documents, making it clear that they have a global vision, that they're not going to stop with Assad being removed, that they want to take over the whole region and the whole world ultimately. Obviously, they're not going to be able to do that, but if Assad is removed, then they're that much closer to Lebanon and Israel, and they'll only be emboldened. They're the only group that can take advantage of Assad's removal. So Putin is being realistic about this, where Obama is not.
Another issue in the headlines in the past couple of weeks, of course, has been the refugee or migrant crisis afflicting Europe, whether it's Turkey or Greece or Eastern Europe. Hundreds of thousands, if not more, people flooding into those areas, and a lot of those countries essentially saying we can't take any more. And obviously, a lot of them are left in limbo at this point. What's your read on these particular refugees? Who comprises this group for the most part? And what's the risk of ISIS infiltration?
The Islamic State, or ISIS, they threatened last February to send 500,000 refugees into Europe, and they said they were going to have their jihadis among them. The Lebanese education minister just last week said that of the 1.1 million refugees in his country from Syria, there were at least 20,000 active jihadis. And so the Islamic State has already been boasting about they're having planted jihadis among the refugees, and I think that we're going to see that as it's going to become increasingly obvious that that's the case in the coming weeks and months.
You may have also answered my next question, which is, why are we suddenly seeing this massive wave now? Is this simply orchestrated and timed as ISIS professed that it would?
Well, they said they were going to do it, and then it started to happen very soon after. And so you got to wonder why this spontaneous movement of a huge number of people into Europe. And remember that 80% of these people are not actually Syrians. That they come as under the guise of Syrian refugees, but they've been discovered to be from all over the Middle East, and their accents betray them because Egyptian Arabic and Moroccan Arabic and Algerian Arabic and Lebanese Arabic, they're all very different. And so they show themselves not to be Syrians. They have forged Syrian passports. They're coming in under the guise of being refugees, but they obviously have a very different agenda. This speaks to the very strong probability that this is something orchestrated by ISIS and or its allies.
You say in the book, Mr. Spencer, that ISIS is pursuing an apocalyptic strategy very purposefully. What does that strategy look like?
They think that they are going to bring down several major nations in the next few years and conquer Rome by 2020, just 5 years from now. Obviously not by conventional warfare, but by infiltration and subversion like this refugee crisis. And then they think that the prophecy that Muhammad is supposed to have made, that the Muslims will fight the non-Muslims in a final apocalyptic battle at a town called Dabiq in northern Syria, and that they think is going to come within 10 years, that the Americans are going to come there, and there'll be this huge war between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. The Muslims will prevail, and Jesus, the Muslim prophet, not Jesus of Christianity, will come down from heaven, kill all the Christians, and conquer and Islamize the world. Now, this is, of course, apocalyptic fantasy, but the chilling fact about it is that they're going to kill a lot of people in trying to bring it all about.
Last question. Given the facts on the ground right now, what's the right policy move for this administration?
Well, we need to ally with Putin and join a large coalition to do something realistic about the Islamic State instead of just these cosmetic airstrikes. And we need to confront their ideology, which in the first place means admitting what it is and stop all the politically correct fantasy about it having nothing to do with Islam.
Mr. Spencer, we'll call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Robert Spencer is the director of Jihad Watch, a program of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. His latest book is The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS, published by Regnery. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.